Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on this Feel Good Football Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We're just talking about the Avicii documentary on Netflix called I Am Tim. And of course, this is his, I don't want to say his most famous, but the one that probably put him on the map first levels. And I was thinking when I was watching this and his untimely death back in 2018, that of all the things that people do that are great that make them famous, musicians have the longest lasting impact because these songs just can live forever and ever and ever. You know, and that's someone could pass away from the longest time ago, but can immediately be brought back to life with the music. And there was also a thing they put out, his last show that he did, because he quit DJing and performing 2 years before he died. So they had that in a Ibiza, or Ibiza, as they say, his last show in 2016. So it was wild. I was totally into the whole thing.
You seemed to be affected.
Yeah,
by it.
I was affected by the whole thing, because someone like that should still be around, you know?
Yep.
And he's just so talented and so special and so smart. And it's just like, man, like, something had just gone a different way, you know, he'd still be doing great things. But anyway, so Saturday, the AFC North Day.
Yes, it is. I think the NFL set this schedule up a certain way.
And really?
Yeah, because the first game.
You smelling something?
I am. Okay. Here's how the NFL, I think, is manipulating this. So the Ravens and the Browns play in Baltimore first on Saturday.
That is correct.
The Ravens win. They win the AFC North. They're the third seed. That's it. Boom, done, over with. That means the Steelers against the Bengals have nothing to play for.
Like nothing at all?
No.
Like, so they're locked in to that seed no matter what?
I believe that is what the case is. But at that point, you know, what are they playing for? And this is, does Mike Tomlin at that point decide, okay, we're going to, you know, play Justin Fields. We're going to, you know, we're not going to play George Pickens. And do we allow the Bengals to go in there, you know, and win a game that they need badly to win? But that, if the Bengals win, that means the Denver and Kansas City game means something in Denver on Sunday. So that game would mean that Denver would have to win, assuming that what happens with Miami and the Jets. Denver still has to win to get in, but here's the interesting thing. If Miami wins against the Jets, the Bengals win against the Steelers, okay? If the Broncos lose, Miami goes. Okay, so, but if the Bengals lose, they're out. And if the Dolphins win and the Broncos lose, the Dolphins are in.
Got it.
So I think one of the reasons why the NFL did this is because if Baltimore wins, they're going to clinch.
So if I'm the Steelers, if I could find a way to Houston, that's what, if I'm anybody, if I could find a way to Houston, I'm going to Houston because that team stinks. I'm sorry. I'm going to, whoever plays that team, I am betting on And watch, this will come back to bite me. But I'm betting on that team and being so confident in because I've seen enough of them this year. They are nowhere near the team they were last year. So, Fleegs, you were telling me there's a way. So what is the way for the Steelers to go to Houston and not Baltimore?
They would have to be the fifth seed.
So they'd have to win. So
if they lose and the Chargers win and the Chargers are playing the Raiders, then the Chargers are the four or the jump to the five and they go to Houston.
So right. If I'm Mike Tomlin, hell.
I'm playing
my guys and I want to win.
Because you want to go to Houston.
And then because that's a free ticket to the divisionals.
Yeah, but
you know
how these coaches look
hot
at
hot knife through butter.
I know, but you know how these coaches look at this, man. They look at it as a potential, you know, anybody that has anything wrong with them, like a Cam Hayward or a TJ Watt. Don't play those guys in games that you know, even you. It doesn't matter who you're playing the next week. You don't want to hurt a guy that or play a guy that may need a week off.
Yeah, but I mean, this is
you know how these coaches are. Mike Tomlin
has not won a playoff game in a very long time,
and that's why he's going to want all his guys healthy.
Okay, but
which would mean that they would have to go back to Baltimore.
Yeah, they don't want that. They don't want that. You got to play your guys, man. And Mike Tomlin's, I don't feel like he's a resting the guys type of guy.
I still think
it's AFC road action.
And Fuzzy's got AMC home action.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do think, I don't know, I just think that if there are guys that are nicked up and that are not 100%, and he knows he's already got, you know, the playoffs clinched, he may not play certain guys.
I don't know. I'm going to say he plays everybody. That's what I think. I think he's playing. I think they're going balls to the wall, Dan Campbell style.
To me, the game, see, what would have happened had the if they play the Bengals Steelers first and the Steelers win, then Baltimore has to play.
By the way, what is the difference? Because we had this conversation yesterday, and that you disagreed with me when I said that Dan Campbell should be sitting a couple of guys in a meaningless game, and now you're telling me that the Steelers should be sitting these guys?
That's a different situation. That was a week before they had a huge game. I don't think you want to be
this
sitting
is a there. Week before they have a huge game, too. They're playing in the playoffs.
That's a one and done. This wasn't a one and done for the Lions last week.
I don't see the difference at all. I really don't.
I know you don't.
Well, the reason I don't is because there isn't a difference.
There is a difference.
What is it?
I mean, you know, Dan Campbell wants the one seed, and he wants to keep his team playing, and he doesn't want to take the pedal off the metal. He wants to keep it down. He wants to keep it pressed. He wants to keep his guys engaged. He doesn't want to take any time off, doesn't want to take anything for granted.
So Mike Tomlin wants to take the pedal off the metal?
A little different story because he knows that he's got the playoffs locked up. And I'm just telling you.
The Lions.
So TJ Watt has had a foot injury.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you don't have to play him and you can get him rested up for the most important game, which would be the next game, the playoff game, if you knew you already had it all locked up, would you rest him or wouldn't you?
I would. I mean, just like I would have not played Jared Goff or Jahmyr Gibbs. And they also, if I'm not mistaken, they haven't had a bye since week five. The
Lions?
The Lions?
Yeah. I guess it is. I don't
know. So, I mean, I would... I would have done.
One thing I will say is that for the Steelers, I'd much rather play the Texans than have to go to Baltimore the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you got to believe that the Chargers are going to beat the Raiders.
You would think. I mean, that would be insane if Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers lost that game.
And the interesting thing is that, you know, they'll know as well where they're set up to go depending on what happens on Saturday.
Yeah. No, I bet we see the Steelers. I mean, that the fans are going to want them to play in that game. Their starters to play in that game. I mean, that to me is the difference between Mike Tomlin winning his first playoff game in a very long time or not. Like, Tomlin's got to be thinking that too. Like, we have a perception of Mike Tomlin here as this unbelievable head coach. He's great. He's a Hall of Famer. We love all his quotes. Out there, he's had his winning seasons. They have not won a playoff game in a long time. And this is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got six Lombardis. This is not some rinky-dink franchise. They know what winning is. So there's a lot of pressure on him to win a playoff game, especially with the year, the way this has gone, and how he's a star on Hard Knocks and all this crap and coach of the year and blah, blah, blah. They got to win a playoff game.
So who's got more pressure on them going into the playoffs, him specifically, or Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh?
It's a very good question. I would say Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh, just because I think most people view them as better than the Pittsburgh Steelers, even though their records aren't that much different.
Okay.
But it's got to be the Ravens, because the Ravens have had better teams and lost.
All right, let me add one more to that list. Sean McDermott and the Bills.
The Bills take that one. I think the Bills are on top.
The Bills are on top
now. I think they are. Would you agree with that order? I would go Bills 1, Ravens 2, Steelers 3, if those are the three I'm choosing from.
I still think Lamar. I think Lamar, because I think he's going to have a really good chance of winning the MVP again this year. And I just feel like, you know, we've seen this from him before, and then unfortunately they get into a playoff game, and then all of a sudden, you know, all that flash and dash and everything doesn't seem to be there.
Yeah. It's close. It's definitely very, very close. I mean,
Josh Allen has played well in pretty much all these games. You know, he's busted his ass doing everything he normally does. You know, and, you know, the Ravens have lost. I know Buffalo lost a home game, but, you know, the Ravens have lost home games, and it's not been pretty.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a window with these teams.
With both of those teams.
Yeah, I know. And they got to get it done at some point. The problem is you run into the Kansas City Chiefs every year.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the issue. And by the way, this is one of these things, talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. So Patrick Mahomes doesn't go to the Pro Bowl this year. So, okay, not a big deal, whatever. But something that we had heard a million times over the last couple of weeks with Aaron Rodgers defenders. Hey, if you take Patrick Mahomes' numbers and Aaron Rodgers' numbers, they're like the same. And people go, oh, wow, really? But here's the thing that nobody was saying. Patrick Mahomes had a bad year for Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
This was not a Patrick Mahomes year.
It was their deep, but if the Jets' defense was as good as Steve Spagnuolo's defense in Kansas City, maybe his year would be going to the playoffs.
Aunt Ball's uncle, we've been here before.
Yes, we have.
But you can't tell me that, you know, wow, he had the same year as Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes wasn't that good this year.
But, you know, Patrick Mahomes wins every fourth quarter.
He does, and the Jets didn't do that.
And unfortunately, Aaron Rodgers did not win the fourth quarter. It's like in five games this year where they had the chance to win the game.
Exactly. So that's the biggest difference.
Patrick Mahomes in that position, that's where his numbers start to elevate.
And I still think.
And some quarterbacks, that's where their numbers start to dissipate.
Who's got the best chance of going in there and beating them? Buffalo? It's not the Ravens. You can't say the Ravens.
Why couldn't you say the Ravens? I mean, the Ravens have been, you know, they've got a multi-dimensional offense. They got
because
a running back.
Because they really haven't done it. Like I've seen Josh Allen go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes on that field.
Yes.
In Arrowhead.
And Josh Allen should have won that game.
Yeah.
If it weren't for Perry Fuel and a defense.
Perry Fuel, oh my God.
Remember that defense?
Yeah.
13 seconds.
No, wait, it was Leslie Frazier.
Oh, Leslie Frazier, not Perry Fuel.
Yeah.
Leslie Frazier, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say Perry Fuel. But yeah, if it wasn't for that, then.
I mean, and by the way, yeah, week one, Baltimore should have won the game in Kansas City. If Isaiah Likely's foot doesn't come in out of bounds.
Yeah. But you're talking playoffs as opposed to regular season. Like we just talked about Lamar Jackson in the regular season.
Buffalo could be Kansas City, but I think Kansas City's playing their best football right now. They got Marquise Brown back. Isaiah Worthy's playing better. I mean, like, they have their full complement of offense now.
They do. They do. DeAndre Hopkins being there. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be the Chiefs again coming out of the AFC, isn't it?
It feels that way.
Going to have to deal with that again. But we're not going down there this year, so don't have to worry about it as much.
Honestly, I think America.
America?
America, except for those people in Minnesota, want to see Detroit and Buffalo.
Yeah, this is another one of these things.
What do you think, Al? Who are you rooting for?
I'm rooting for Detroit. I'm not rooting for Buffalo, though.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Detroit and who?
I don't really have an AFC team that I'm
You gotta
stoked.
You got to have an AFC team.
Yeah, I'm not.
Chargers and Jim Harbaugh?
No Chargers, no Chiefs, no Bills.
How about if the Bengals make it?
Yeah, the Bengals I would root for.
Okay.
All right, so.
No Broncos, no Bo Nix and Sean Payton?
Yeah, those guys. No. I'd root for those.
Does America realize?
America.
That the Vikings also have never won a Super Bowl.
America knows that.
Okay, so then why does America want the Lions?
Because the Lions have never been to the Super Bowl. The Vikings have.
Yeah, but it's just It's the 70s.
America wants the Lions. Telling you.
Okay, so then America must want the Texans then, too.
No. America.
Well, they've never been to a Super Bowl.
But they don't want the Texans.
But you just told me the reason why they wanted the Lions because the
Lions have been around for 100 years.
Yeah, I know, torturing us as football fans
with
their miserable franchise.
It's kind of like the Bills. Like, you have a soft spot in your heart for the Bills.
Soft spot in our heart.
See, like, you are so activated right now.
It's unbelievable.
I love the fact that you are so activated right now with your Vikings fandom. It's ridiculous.
You know, I like it better this way. Let them be the story. Let them be the team that everybody expects to win.
America wants them.
You know, America. America wants them.
Al, he is so activated right now.
Yeah.
You can tell because he's fighting me on everything.
Oh, so if we get Vikings or Lions, that's good. I don't need the Eagles, Packers, any of these other crummy teams.
Al doesn't want to see Saquon in the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, that's the problem. Gold jacket guy, Al.
Well, that's why, I mean, this Sunday night game is just so critical. I mean, it really is the difference between going to the Super Bowl or not. Like that's
so this is like a pre-Super Bowl get-in game.
I mean, this game is as important as any regular season game that the Minnesota Vikings have ever played.
It's amazing that two 14-win teams, one is going to be a 5 seed and one's going to be a
1 seed. It sucks. And you know what? As much as I'm off Detroit and been slamming them and I don't like them, it's a crime if they end up being the 5 seed, just like it would be a crime if the Vikings end up being the 5 seed.
See, but the thing about it is the 5 seed going to either the Buccaneers or the Falcons, right?
But the problem is you most likely are going to have to win 3 games on the road.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah.
Yeah. They could do it.
3 games on the road as opposed to 2 games at home. Which route you taking?
Let's say the Lions win this game. We may see a Vikings-Lions NFC Championship game in about 3 weeks in Detroit.
All right. You get on me when I get too activated. You get on me when I'm too negative. So I don't know what you're going to say to this.
You're fighting me. You're fighting me.
I don't know what you're going to say to this.
Just fighting me.
But they can't go into Philly and win. They can't.
Yes, they can.
They cannot.
Yes, they can.
They cannot.
Yes, they can.
I've seen it too many times. They can't do it.
I think their defense is good enough to do it. And I think they do have a running game. And by the way,
They just stop in that place. They just can't. No matter, you could change your uniforms, you could change them. They just can't go into Philly and do it.
All right, so you need them to win in the worst way Sunday night.
Yeah, I do, actually.
But honestly, for our show, America loves our show. So I would just say that I am praying. I'm probably going to pick the Vikings. And
I'm not going to do it, I don't think.
All right, so this is what happened last time. I picked the Vikings and you didn't. And the Vikings won.
Yeah, with the Seahawks, yeah.
You said, oh, they can't win in Seattle. Oh, you had your whole negativity thing. You could change your uniforms. You could do this. They can't win in Seattle. And they did.
They had a tough time winning in Seattle.
Yeah.
And they won.
It's like what Gio just went through with the Mets. This is the year of, like, beating past demons.
It could be.
All right, but I think I'm picking the Lions. Well, I know I'm picking the Lions.
You just said you're picking the Vikings.
No, I said I'm going to pick the Lions.
You just said I'm going to pick the Vikings.
I'm going to pick the Lions, but I want the Vikings to cover. You know what I'm saying?
I do, but you're confusing me.
I think the Lions are going to win like 31-30, and the Vikings will cover. I'm probably going to pick the Vikings.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I want the Lions to win.
You want the Lions to win?
Yeah.
So you want to see...
I want to see a 31-30 Vikings cover.
So you want to see me in pain on Monday. That's what you would like. That's what you want to see.
I wasn't thinking about it that way.
You want to see the Super Bowl dream and me going to an NFC Championship game and watching them exercise the demons. You want to see that evaporate on Sunday night.
I'm going to have to stay up and watch this whole game now Sunday night.
Yeah, you and me both. And it's the first day of congestion pricing, so I got to get up even earlier.
Well, not yet. Hold on. There's a lawsuit that's still being, still
out there. My ass. They already changed the signs. Toll.
Yeah.
Toll. Saw it this morning. I hope something comes in 11th hour.
Hey, guys. It's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Feel Good Football Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio. CeeLo is here. He is in for Jerry, who is sleeping right now. He did send us his picks already, though, because he knew he'd be knocked out. He landed around 3 a.m. And started texting Al immediately. His picks for the week.
That is brutal.
That's how locked in he is. But he at least will have a weekend coming up here. So, oh, look at this. We finally got our first push, 2-2-1. So 38-41-1 for me in first place. And then you and Jerry are three games behind. So I've got to hold on for another regular season championship at under 500.
I have to say that I saw Youssef earlier this morning. He goes, "You tell Mr. Geo that when I watch Vikings, I think of him."
Okay.
So
it's a good Youssef impersonation. It really is.
Better than Al Saquon impersonation.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
that's why you do it the way you're supposed to do it.
Many, many people do, which is a good thing and a bad thing. And when they're playing well, meaning that people think of me with the Vikings, when they're playing well, it's great. Hey, feel good for you, everything. You know, it was nice. You should, probably had a great day watching the game. But when they don't, you know, then it's just, it's the worst.
Slings and arrows are coming your way.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Especially.
Mm-hmm. I know how that feels right now.
When they lost to the Giants.
Our hockey team.
Yeah. So, I mean, I only get to break this out so often, right? Meek only scores every, you know, couple of months now, so. Got to wear
well,
it while
he
can.
At least he got one. At least it was around the net.
So I mean, you and I could have scored that goal.
Yeah, but you got to go in there and go get it. And that's the key thing.
All right.
You know, so I'm just, all I'm saying is like, I see the game last night as nothing's better.
You and I see it the same.
The goalie is what is saving their ass. Their defense is horrendous.
Yes.
And for the life of me, they can't get the puck off the board and out of their zone, where the other team gets the puck and just goes right up the sideboards.
This sequence here that we're seeing, that save that he made, prior to that, in that replay sequence, the angle they showed, literally there's five guys standing in the zone just watching the
puck. Just watching, standing.
Yeah.
I know. It's unbelievable.
And they are a mess. They really are. They're, whatever system it is that they're playing is
I don't know what they're playing.
Yeah. All right. We're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. I was going to do the college football because we skipped it last hour, but this out there now from The Athletic that the Mike Vrabel interview with the Jets is happening today.
Okay.
So they did Ron Rivera and Louis Riddick for the GM opening yesterday. Rivera, of course, for the head coaching opening. So you've got Vrabel coming to Florham Park to visit with the Jets today.
All right, so here now we got to think about Mix. So Mike Vrabel as the head coach, who would be the GM? I still think you got to hire the GM first and make sure that whoever that person is can work with whoever the head coach is.
Or and if it's Vrabel, they say, who do you want as the GM? And we'll
Robinson.
Bring that guy in.
He may want to go back and work with Robinson, who he worked with down in Tennessee.
Did they end on good?
It was an interesting thing. A lot of people were shocked that he was fired. I was telling you, I was telling Gio yesterday, I talked to Frank Reich, who was, you know, Indianapolis, so he had to go against Tennessee.
Yeah.
And he said, man, those teams are always buttoned up. Those teams are always tough to play against. And he is a really good coach.
Yeah.
And he does command the locker room. And he's a guy that can change the culture. He can walk right in there. Guys would look at him. They know he's got the Super Bowl rings, the whole bit.
I'd be really impressed if the Jets were able to land him.
I agree.
I would be very, very impressed.
He's got to be the number one guy on a lot of boards, maybe with the exception of Ben Johnson for maybe like Jacksonville or Chicago.
Yeah, but then again, he didn't get a job last year, Vrabel.
Yeah, but was that because it wasn't available or because he decided? Like, I know he lost out to Harbaugh with the Chargers.
Yeah.
But were there other teams maybe said, you know
sometimes
what?
Sometimes it's better to sit out. And he actually did work with the Browns this year. But it's probably better sometimes to sit out and just kind of take a big look at the league and see what's going on and then really assess what's happening. Look, the Jets have a good roster. They just don't have an answer at quarterback right now for the immediate future.
And Vrabel's kind of used to that down in Tennessee. Well, Ryan Tannehill was okay.
He may go in there and say, look, I'd like to have Aaron Rodgers back. I don't know. But it seems like to me the relationship between Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers seems like it's in a weird spot.
Yeah, he's not coming back.
Bad spot.
Yeah. It's just he's not coming back.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Like, if Vrabel's looking to come in and put his stamp on the culture, like a shotgun marriage with Aaron Rodgers at the end of his career doesn't seem like a good way to do that.
He still wants to win. He still wants to win. And every coach that takes a job in the NFL knows how important it is. All you have to do is listen to Brian Daboll's press conference after they beat the Colts, how important it is to have a quarterback that you can believe in.
So you referenced Vrabel with the Browns. So Zach Rosenblatt from The Athletic's the one that put out the news this morning about he's interviewing with the Jets today. And here's another piece from The Athletic, which this is interesting to me. He writes, over the last 5 months, I spent extensive time with Vrabel as he worked with the Browns. He reflected on his Titans tenure, opened up about what he wants next inside his gap year, in quotes. There's a big expansive piece here. I haven't had a chance to sift through it yet. But on the morning that I guess he gets this little nugget that he's going to interview with the Jets, they've got this piece about what Vrabel's been up to in this off year.
Because Todd Downing worked with him.
That's right.
He was his offensive coordinator, and then, you know, he came here to the Jets after they got fired down there in Tennessee.
I think Todd Downing's like, you don't want to come here. Hey, Mike.
I would think that Todd Downing would be talking. I'm assuming they have a very good relationship, but these coaches know. They know what's going on.
All right. Here's a refresher from yesterday. I did play this Brian Daboll cut talking about offensive coordinator Mike Kafka.
Mike's been a great teammate, good coach, good friend, does a good job for us.
Is that you want him back next year?
Yeah, he does a good job for us. So we're focused on the Eagles here, guys.
All right, so he was like non-committal there, similar to how he, if I recall correctly, how he handled Wink Martindale at the end of last year. So now Kafka meets the media yesterday and decided to preempt anything related to that, which I thought was a little strange.
I know you guys had some questions to Dave's about like my future and all that stuff, so I just wanted to address it really quick. Obviously, I love being here. I love working for Dave's and everybody, and so... You know, my only focus really is just on Philadelphia, the coaches, the players, and getting ready to play a great game and build on what we did last week.
Like, are we really that focused on the Mike Kafka situation?
But that's all they were going to ask him about.
Okay.
So he just wanted to get ahead of it and go, yeah, I just told you what I had to say.
All right.
Because there's nothing else to ask Mike Kafka about. Tyrone Tracy's rushing attempts.
I get that. But it's just like, okay, so what if they ask you about your future? Like, what's the big deal? I don't know. It just was the way that they both handled it was, I don't know. It just seemed
from a guy who ran right to Twitter to talk about his future at WFAN.
Oh. Yes.
And you say, what's the big deal? And there's a bunch of reporters around you egging you on and trying to get you to have a quote about your future. I mean, it's easy for you to say, right?
Fair enough.
Okay,
I'm not even going to push back.
What would have happened if there were a bunch of reporters that day that you went with the in your face asking those questions? Huh? What do you mean? What's the big deal? It's your life. When it's your life. It's a big deal.
I don't think those are a direct comparison. If I'm being fair,
but it's easy to say what's the big deal when it's not your life.
What I'm saying,
your
is,
job.
Like if they were going to like the fact that he. Let me get out in front of this. Like it's some big story they're trying to manage.
Well, you
that's
got
what
out
I'm saying.
In front of it,
right? Yeah.
When you were posting that, were you crying?
No, I was not crying.
Like, how many people probably
looked at steam coming out of my eyes? I was angry.
I felt emotion.
I spoke to both of you that day.
Yes.
I did speak to you on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
and to be clear, you did not encourage me to do that. Quite the opposite, actually.
No, exactly.
But how many people read that post and was like, what's the big deal here? Why do you feel like you need to address this on social media?
I'm sure a lot of people felt that way.
But the point being, for Mike Kafka, like nobody's really even talked about him.
Yeah,
nobody has said anything. The only thing that really ever came out of any of this was that Brian Daboll was calling plays.
Right. Yeah.
Kafka was still doing his job. His job was to coordinate the offense, and I'm sure he and Daboll were talking constantly during the games, during in between series, what's working, what's not working, what are they doing, how do we have to attack certain things. I mean, Kafka was still very much involved, and if they stay here, we'll still be here.
And Vrabel did say yesterday.
He's been a very loyal employee.
Yeah, I don't think he will be here if they stay here.
Based on those two bites, that's your takeaway, yes? So that's what I mean. Like it's like they were dancing around a little bit.
So maybe Mike Kafka wants to go somewhere else. Maybe he has an offer to go somewhere.
Somewhere he can call plays, perhaps.
Maybe college, who knows?
Maybe.
And that guy, Nevin Shapiro, already told us that the Miami offensive coordinator was going to be here with Cam Ward.
That's right.
Right, and Deion said that Shedeur Sanders was going to be here, too. Yeah, so who's right?
Did he?
Yeah.
I can't. They've all said stuff. The Giants
have the number one pick. They're taking Shedeur. That's what he said.
Well, that's if.
I think his point was whoever has the number one pick is taking Shador. That's what he was getting at. Here's our guy Mike Tomlin ahead of Saturday night's AFC North showdown with the Bengals. Playoff implications for both teams, of course.
Certainly, they're a motivated group trying to play their way into this tournament. But certainly, we're a motivated group, to be quite honest with you. We got to get the stench of the last few performances off of us.
Yeah, smelly three-game skid against playoff-bound teams, Eagles, Ravens, and Chiefs. So let's see if they can get that squared away here coming up against
Don't need a half-ass effort. We need the whole ass. That was the best. The whole ass.
They better get George Pickens and Russell Wilson the whole ass on the same page.
I mean, this is what I mean about Russell Wilson, though, because he just teammates
don't like him.
Don't like him. No matter where he goes. And like George Pickens is the exact type of guy who ain't going to like him.
Right. And won't have a problem saying that essentially out loud.
Because Russell just comes across as not one of the guys. He seems like he's a phony. He's a celebrity who's not, you know, shoulder to shoulder in a locker room with them. And this is like the least shocking thing ever that they're not on the same page.
Not great timing for it, though.
I mean, they're like 300 pages apart.
Well, if you heard that clip last hour, it seemed like news to George Pickens. Because he was even thinking the reporter was trying to, you know, insert his own opinion in there. He's like, no, that's what Russell said. Oh, okay, that's the end of my media session. Coaching carousel obviously starting to heat up. Who's interviewing? Who's going where? Who's a good fit with a certain team or quarterback? Commanders offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury obviously having a nice year with rookie Jaden Daniels, which leads to the obvious question. Cliff, are you interested in being a head coach again?
Yeah, I'm sure at some point. Yeah, at some point.
And then there's sort of an awkward silence before the reporter follows up, and you even hear Kingsbury kind of chuckle at the beginning of this one, almost like, of course, how could I not be?
Do you plan to interview for jobs this year?
I won't comment on that, but we'll see how everything plays out, but I'm very happy here. Yeah, this has been an awesome place and has really helped me kind of rekindle my love for the sport.
Seems like a strong yes.
Rekindle my love for the sport.
That's right. It's amazing what a quarterback does for a
everybody.
Guy.
For everybody.
I mean, like Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers, you know, the fact that he just climbed on his back and rode him to the Kentucky Derby win. You know, Adam Gase and Peyton Manning. You know, Cliff Kingsbury could not have been in a lower spot when he got fired by the Cardinals. People said he ran this loose program. He had no control over anybody. DeAndre Hopkins basically quit on him. Kyler Murray hated him. It was the worst, right? The team would quit on him every year. They'd get off to a good start, and then they'd quit, and they'd fall apart. The second he gets fired, he's posting pictures of his girlfriend's ass cheeks on a beach. Remember this? It was like Cliff Kingsbury does not give an F about anything.
He was winning there.
And then all of a sudden, he gets back here with Jaden Daniels, and Jaden Daniels has made him into this head coaching candidate again. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Aaron Rodgers said he's got to go put his feet in the sand. Cliff Kingsbury was doing something else in the sand.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, let's circle back to the college football now. You had the rescheduled Sugar Bowl for New Orleans, Notre Dame and Georgia still playing less than 48 hours after the horrific attack on Bourbon Street in the wee hours of New Year's Day, and it was the Irish seizing control and momentum right out of halftime.
Kick to start the half. Jaden Harrison might get a chance here. Going to bring it out from his own 2-yard line. Cuts it inside, takes it out to the far side, across the numbers, along the far sideline. Jaden Harrison hits the Jets across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. It's a touchdown.
Yes.
Kickoff return from Jaden Harrison. He waited all season long, and golden is thy fame.
Good time for
it. And you notice that the Notre Dame players are very disciplined. They didn't get into the white area where the officials are running down the sideline.
Yeah, that was a problem for
like
that.
Like Parker Jones did for Georgia. And who is Parker Jones?
Walk-on corner, yeah.
He's a GPA signing.
GPA spot?
Yeah, GPA spot.
Yeah, well.
Wait. Walk on corner?
Yeah, I looked him up.
You see him number 39?
Yeah, I
right
see
there.
Him. No, I know. I saw him. That's why I'm saying okay. A corner?
Yeah.
I'm
look at that poor kid. He's... Look at him. Uh-oh. Oh, man.
Wow.
He's got to be.
That guy's on the Georgia football team.
Georgia Bulldogs corner. 5'11", buck 90.
Come
That's
on.
That's how he's listed, at least.
That's their Rudy, man.
Right, yeah. I mean, his dad's probably contributing to that nil collective in a big way. Get that guy on the sideline with a jersey. Are you kidding me?
Oh, man. It's unfortunate for him.
They asked Kirby Smart about him after the game.
Did they?
Yeah,
oh,
they
I haven't
did.
Heard that. How did that go?
Well, I mean, what he's supposed to say, you know, undisciplined. We can't win with like place like that.
There was a college coach this year. Oh, was it Kirby Smart? Someone did something stupid, and he came out and said, yeah, he's an idiot.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah,
what was that?
I forget.
Because that's why I asked, what did he say? Because sometimes they're not afraid to light into these kids publicly. It's not like the pros where they've got to coddle everybody. And
was it Brian Kelly, players. Maybe?
I don't think it was Brian Kelly.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I didn't think Notre Dame feels with Brian Kelly down at LSU now.
I think they're feeling pretty good.
They got to be feeling
I mean, Marcus
good, right?
Freeman, they lost that game to Northern Illinois, their home opener. You're talking about him losing his job. They haven't lost since. Now they're in the semifinal.
That was all the way back in September. And it was Kirby Smart, the coldest player.
Was?
In
there you go. I thought so. Because he's got a very unique sound to him.
Yeah.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on this Feel Good Football Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So you asked me in the break, where is Eddie today? And I said, Eddie is going to be off for a while. He came back for one day, which was yesterday. And then he took off. And this time it was for the much ballyhooed and anticipated Wolf expedition. That he will be going on.
All right, good.
At Yellowstone National Park, where
nice.
He goes and he lives with the wolves for a week.
When you say he lives with the wolves, I mean, Al, maybe you know a little bit more about this, more specifics about this.
I do,
Is he in a tent or a hotel?
No, he's in a hotel.
Okay.
Because it's very, very cold there.
Yeah, it is.
And he would not survive probably in a tent.
All right. So you guys did a podcast on this yesterday?
We did, yeah. I asked them a lot of questions about it.
Does the wolf live in the hotel room with them?
No.
No.
You do not get a wolf with you.
You don't get a wolf with you.
You don't get a wolf as part of the package.
No, okay. You are out during the day observing the wolves, and then you go to... I think it keeps moving the locations. So you have these automobiles that are made for this weather and this snow, and it... You hop in that, you observe some wolves, you get back in it, you go to another location.
So is he in the Grand Tetons? Is that where he is?
He definitely mentioned the Grand Tetons.
Okay.
In the Grand Tetons. Is there anything interesting that you got out of this where you're like, wow, I didn't know that. Or boy, that was fascinating.
Just how cold it could get, the actual temperature of where he'll be observing these wolves. He said the actual temperatures are like negative 22.
Yeah, Jackson Hole is a great place to go skiing, but it gets cold there, really cold. They got a lot of snow, of course, because it's up in the mountains, but it is freezing.
I am an animal guy, and I am fascinated with animals and love animals, but there's something about these observing of the wolves that does not seem all that interesting to
me. Well, this is why I wanted to send Al to the Serengeti.
Like, that's different. Like, watching a lion... track down a gazelle and then eating that thing and then bringing the family over and rah, 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 they're all eating the same gazelle. That is interesting. Like, all of a sudden, there's a giraffe. It's like, holy crap.
You could explain that to, like, Sabrina and say, look, this is like when we go to Chili's. The lions are going to Chili's right now eating a gazelle.
You think I'm going to Chili's?
Wherever you're going.
The Seville Inn. That's okay, where we like to go. Right, okay. But like the wolves, I just feel like are... They're wild dogs. Like, I feel like I have a wolf at home. Like, Elvis is essentially... Gina did a DNA test with Elvis, by the way.
There we go.
And he came back with, like, a high wolf factor. And he howls. Like, when the girls were doing the New Year's Eve, like, those things, he would start howling at them. And I'm like, I've got a wolf at home. And Eddie's going to negative 22 to observe these wolves in the snow.
It's the experience. Come on, man.
Like, have Elvis for a week. Observe him.
It's good for him.
I also found out he's observing other animals, too. I don't know why they're just calling it wolves, because it seems like he's going to see it just as much elk.
Okay.
And some other bison type of things, like moose. Things like that are also there.
No, you got to stay away from the moose. Those things can be nasty. They're ornery.
Do they spit on you, Moose?
I've never gotten close enough to one to get spit on, but I've actually seen the moose out in the wild.
Yeah, I've seen a moose.
Actually, out the window of the back door of a house that I used to stay in Jackson Hole.
Wow.
Right on the, I forget the name of the, there was like a little like kind of river stream there, and he was getting a drink. And if I were out back, he probably would have been about 20 feet from me.
You see his knuckles?
No, I didn't see the knuckles, no. But they are an amazing animal.
Oh, they are. That would be a cool thing to see. Like elk, bison, wolf, give me a moose. That's something. Because, I mean, those things, they can be gigantic.
I'm trying to think where the elk herd was. I saw one of those, too. Maybe that was Copper Mountain.
Yeah. Elk herd. Was that interesting?
Yeah, you see.
The elk?
Yeah, you see a bunch of elk. You're like, hey, look at that.
That's a bunch of elk.
You don't see every day.
It's a bunch of elk.
It's like, and the people who live there come here, and they go to the Bell Parkway, and they go, hey, look at that.
Yeah.
You don't see that every day.
No, like, you don't.
Around here, we do.
Right.
Yes.
I don't know, man. I know everybody's got their own different interests.
Let's go down to the subway and see our own elk.
That's true.
Yeah.
I know everybody's got their own different interests, but boy, what Eddie and I do with our free time could not be more different. Like, he goes to the coldest place in America in January. Blows my mind.
I think Fargo may be a little bit colder.
But still.
Yes.
Negative 22 is where he goes. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, but you know,
Turks and Caicos, some Bahamas.
You're an ocean guy. He's a mountain guy.
Yeah, I know, but just the cold.
Right.
Who the hell wants that?
Hey, Ralphie in East Rockaway, what do you got?
Dallas, I just want to chime in on the wolf thing. Like, last week, Eddie said that wolves weren't smarter than dogs.
Yeah.
It's a fact that the dumbest species of wolf is 10 times smarter than the smartest species of dog. And, Gio, you don't have a wolf at home. They're completely different.
Wait, I don't have a wolf at home?
No.
They told me there was some wolf in him.
No, there's no wolf in it. There's no wolf
at all?
No.
Damn it,
no
I thought wolf. I had a wolf at
you
home.
You did a 23andMe on the
yeah.
dog.
Yeah. You think you tell me they're lying? I got to get my money back.
No, if you do your research, you find out that our military, like our earliest military strategies, are based on how the wolf hunts and protects his territory.
Okay.
So it's like there's no comparison. It's not even close.
All right. Have you observed these wolves, Ralph?
No, I wrote a paper on them in high school.
Oh, nice.
Like 30 years
high school.
Ago.
Nice.
30 years ago. Did you get an A on that?
I did.
Nice.
I did.
Very good, man. I see
that. Yeah, so, I mean, to put wolves and dogs in the same... It's not their descendants, but that's about it.
Well, I mean, they look very similar. You got to admit. I mean, you know.
I have two Malamutes. I have a Malamute. Looks like a wolf.
You got two Malamutes? Two of them?
I do. Two of them.
Yeah, all right. And you're a guy. That's a guy with a couple of Malamutes, to me, would be someone that would say that the dog and the wolf would be very similar. But Ralph is saying the opposite here. So.
No. You could be a mile away. You step on a wolf's territory, he knows it.
Sort of like an Italian
uncle. What they're able to do.
Kind of sounds like Al Dukes.
You really want to learn about? Watch the documentary called "The Rise of Black Wolf," and you'll be completely amazed.
All right, Ralph, we appreciate the info. You know, there was Elvis got out when we weren't home, when we were in Italy, and some we had people watching the kids and Elvis got out and started running down the sidewalk. And one of our neighbors actually was like shocked and said, I thought it was a wolf. So I don't care what you say, Ralph. I got half a wolf at home. You don't have a wolf at home, Gio. It ain't a wolf. It's a dog.
Dog?
And the dumbest wolf is still 10 times smarter than the smartest dog. Did not even close. It can smell a fart from 45 miles away. A squirrel fart. So don't even tell me. And I'm a guy who's got Malamutes. I wrote a paper on it 30 years ago in high school.
He's probably right.
No, I think he is right, actually. It's just his delivery.
He sounded like he knew what he was talking about.
His delivery was just...
Yes, I know.
Let me tell you about a wolf and a dog and the differences.
Where was that guy from?
East Rockaway.
Yeah, okay.